Hey, Michael here, back for another LEGO Masters post-season deep dive on my podcast, Talkbooks Masters. Today, I was lucky enough to get to sit down with Season 4's Allison and Melanie to break down their time on the show. Just like I break down all the LEGO news weekly over on my YouTube channel, Talk Bricks. I'm having such a blast with all these post-season deep dives. It's really keeping that LEGO Masters love alive for me, and I can't wait to bring you even more interviews with the rest of the cast. So as always, be sure you stay tuned for everything we have coming up, because we're not slowing down anytime soon. And without much further ado, here's my interview with Allison and Melanie. Well, these postseason deep dives have been just a blast, so of course, I wasn't going to stop them anytime soon, especially without bringing on another one of your favorite teams making their podcast debut. Welcome, Allison and Melanie. Say hello to everyone on the podcast.
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everybody. I'm waving, but you can't see me, but hi.
Exactly. I can confirm they are indeed waving, but we are just so excited to have the two of you. You were so much fun, and we were rooting for you the whole time on the show, so we can't wait to get into all of the fun of all your episodes and everything that you want to share with us. But the first thing we like to talk about is a little bit pre-LEGO Masters. So I'd love to just hear from you, like, what is your LEGO origin story? Like, how did you get into LEGO? And the thing I always like to add in is, like, and what took it up a notch? Because I sort of feel like you have to be up a notch a little bit to want to do a show like this. So, Allison, why don't we start with you? You know, what's your LEGO origin story?
So I've been building with bricks since I was a little girl. I used to use LEGO to enhance other toys, like building a 3-story condo for Barbie. that was like my go-to. And then when I went away to college, I took the LEGO with me, of course. It was like kind of a way to decompress and get out of like opera land, because that's where I went to school for opera. And then and then I started like building sculptures after I found Nathan Sawaya online, and I started by trying to copy things that he made. So I'd like look at pictures and go, oh, it's kind of the same. If you just build one side, you could build the other, you could figure out the back. So I started like that, and then I started posting online, and then people started noticing. And then I kept going, and then they kept noticing. And then, I've been building ever since. 2020 Panorama went like super into it. And yeah, I've just been posting on the gram and on the TikTok and building everything.
Amazing. Well, I love that. And it's cool because, you know, for those who don't realize, Nathan Sawaya obviously is a LEGO artist, but he's also a contributor to LEGO Masters. You know, he did a lot of the brick built things that you see on the show. So it's sort of like, I don't know. You guys were circling each other. You're only bound to be on the show after a certain point. But Melanie, what about you? What's your story?
Well, when I was a kid, I was into a lot of things. I'm still into a lot of things. I have way too many hobbies. I did ask my parents, like when I was a kid, if I could have a Lego set. I never actually got one. My parents would buy stuff for my cousins, and I believe they did buy some Lego sets for some of my guy cousins. But I never got to have any. I instead got Kinects, and I was kind of disappointed. But I mean, it was still fun, but it just wasn't Lego. So I didn't necessarily grow up with like a lot of Lego. But when I met Allison, I noticed she had a lot of Lego. A lot of Lego. And we would hang out, and we would play music because we were both music students. I would hang out at her place, and I would sing and play ukulele with her, and we just do like little covers, and she kind of just reeled me in into this whole world, because I just thought like, wow, all these sculptures are really cool. And I started asking her like, hey, how about like, can you build this? Can you build that? Like, that would be really cool if you built some kind of video game character or something. And like, she knew how to build everything. And so when she wanted to audition for LEGO Masters, and she was like, well, why don't you audition with me? You know how to do some things, you know? So, cause she taught me how to do a few things, and yeah. So we ended up making it.
Mel's a quick learner. Like, I'm technically challenged. Mel picked up all the technic, and like, I didn't have to write that. So she's like really fast at learning and was very helpful.
Well, listen, a dynamic duo for sure. But it sounds like, Allison, you know, that you got involved with the audition process first. So, you know, did you find the show and apply, or did the show find you?
The show found me, which is crazy. I can't get over that. Season one, they reached out, I think because of my Instagram, because like, again, that's where I post all my stuff. And they asked if I could be in a female team, because I'm a female builder and there's not a lot of us in the world. So Mel is like the most social person I've ever met in my life. And she's always doing things with a billion people. And I was like, do you want to do this? And she's like, okay. And like, she, yeah. So it was like the perfect thing. We didn't make it season one, but we almost did.
Yeah, we were like right there.
Yeah, we got pretty far. And then season two, I auditioned with my best friend, Mookie, but they didn't want me with a boy. And then season three, I auditioned with my dad, but they didn't want me with a boy. And then Mel came back around and I was like, you want to try again? And she's like, okay. And then we did it. And here we are. Well,
they were just waiting for Melanie. They were waiting for her.
Definitely.
Aww.
So, you know, so obviously, you know, you're getting on the show, you're going through the audition process and you get selected and now you're, you know, going to fly out, you're going to do the show. What did the two of you do to start preparing? And was it certain things you built, certain things you looked up and, you know, what was your prep journey looking like?
So we built like a music building together because I don't build a lot of buildings. I build a lot of characters and food. So she came over, we built like this whole Lego music building because that's where we met in school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but honestly, like it was mostly like Mel coming over playing music and like me building and her kind of like observing kind of thing. And then we got really into it once we went to the show.
Yeah, I remember Allison would have me build a few things. She was like, this is how you make like flower set or something, you know, like little things like, oh, you should make accessories like glasses and jewelry and stuff like that. So like she had me practice a few things. And then we started getting bigger and bigger and we just went from there.
And Mel's amazing. The one who actually made my sig fig. She's the one, like my sig fig that's again on the gram. she climbs over like all my builds. So like when I take different pictures, you see her in different angles climbing over things. Like Mel made her. So that was cool.
Wow.
Well, I think, we're slowly learning. I think Melanie is like the secret weapon here. You know, like, you know, you, wow. You needed her.
She's tiny, but like mighty. She's,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, in episode one, you said everyone needs a Mel in your pocket is what you said. So
yeah,
in a pocket. You don't hide a Melanie. I'm kidding.
I love it. I love it.
I'm kidding. I'm honored to be in your pocket, Allison.
I'm honored to have you in my pocket, Mel.
Aw, the friendship is real, guys. But so now you're on the show. It's episode one. This is the Brick Lake Challenge, and you walk through those doors. You're finally on set. The anticipation, all those things. What was it like to like finally arrive at the thing that you'd been, you know, hoping to get on since season one?
It was very surreal. We were like, is this really happening? And then once we got there, we were like, is this really happening?
Like there's parts of the set like that you see on TV that like light up on the floor. That's real. There's like big giant bricks that like fall down. That's real. It's like insanity. And then it hits you that you're with a bunch of like amazing Lego builders and you're like, oh, could we do this? Oh, this is, oh, that's Will Arnett. Oh, he said my name. Like all these things just kind of hit you. And it's like a deer in headlights almost. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's very intimidating, certainly, to be on set, to be amongst Lego royalty like the Brickmasters and Will. But, you know, the two of you didn't seem very shy. You know, in the first episode, you made a song, especially for Will Arnett. It was like an homage to Rockin' Robin. You know, it was like brickety, brickety, brick. You know, so was this something that you like knew you wanted to do to be able to showcase your musical talent during the episodes themselves?
We definitely wanted to have fun with music. Like, because again, that's how me and Mel met. And she plays the uke. And so I play the piano. I can't really carry a piano on set, but she can carry a uke. And so it was kind of like a little thing we did with our auditions and stuff. We played some music. They liked it. So we kept it going.
Yeah. During our audition, I actually had my guitar and like we would just randomly break out into song while we were building and they did like it. We just came up with just versions of other songs, but Lego-fied, if you can say.
Every time someone in the audition would say the forbidden word, Legos, we would say, you know, talk about Legos. No, no, no. Because it's not Legos. Go Brick.
And they really did like that. And then they asked us if we can come up with songs similar to that. Just change the word to like Lego or AFOL or something having to do with Lego. But then later on, like we actually have like five of those songs prepared already, all written down and everything. And then later on, they were like, actually, because of copyright, we can't do that. Yeah. So can you create your own music? And I'm like, what? I never really create music. I always just do covers. So it was a challenge. Like, not only was I kind of newer to Lego compared to other people, but it was also a challenge just coming up with music.
Yeah.
But it was fun. And I didn't know I could. But kind of just broke out of my shell there. Yeah. Like, I didn't know we would go that far in Lego because I'm newer. I didn't know, like, I could write that many songs, like, on the fly.
We had to write all of our songs during lunch. So when everyone else was eating, we were like frantically, like Mel was coming up with chords and we were coming up with lyrics and like doing our best because we don't know what we're building until we're building it. And there's breaks. Like, so it's just lunch. So we're just like, okay, we're doing this. Cool. Now we have to memorize it. Now we have to perform it in front of like the whole world. Yay.
Yeah. The amazing things we can do under pressure, right?
Yeah.
Like, we have
for
to do
real. Well, yeah, I mean, like, as if just coming up with creative builds wasn't a challenge enough. You know, you were doing double duty. It was like one part, you know, an original songwriting contest and one part Lego Masters. Well, you know, your ship, as a reminder, the Bricklake Challenge, everybody had to build a ship, and your ship was called the Musician Ship. And the Musician Ship featured a rocktopus playing the keys. And, you know, certainly as a longtime Lego Masters historian, as I pretend to be, you know, we had Rocky the Rocktopus back in season one. And so tell us about this build. You know, were you inspired by Mel and Germaine's build from the Cut in Half Challenge, or is this a funny coincidence?
It's a coincidence.
I haven't watched.
I'm like so bad. I have not watched a full season of Lego Masters. I'm awful. I know. So like everything we did was original for us. We didn't realize that things were similar to other things. It's just like, I knew I could build an octopus. So I was like, cool, we're going to build an octopus. Like, we knew we could build little ukuleles. So we're like, cool, we're going to do that. And like, yeah, it wasn't intentional, but we could say it was.
Honestly, I forgot. I did watch the first season, but that was like 4 years ago. I didn't remember. But like, we were just like coming up with ideas. Like, what are we going to do? Well, we can make, like what Allison said, we can make octopus. There's like fish that are already made in there. There's already like stingrays and sharks. So like, we could just add those in there. We can make crabs, and there's also little crabs in there. And we were like, okay. So
essentially, we go to like our brain and we're like, what have I made in the past? How can I use similar shapes for the show so I'm not like freaking out and going, ah? So like, and like figuring out things like, I made cookies before and we made cookies for Coco's Cookies. Like, it's do what you know. Don't learn when you're there because you're going to just flop like a fish.
The interesting thing about our boat is it's called the Musician Ship because it's a class we both took called Musicianship, where you learn how to read music.
Nice thing. Yeah.
So it's called Musicianship for that reason. And also our musicianship, also Allison came up with this idea, but the fish, stingrays, sharks, they had top hats because they're performers and they were a school of fish. And what else did we have? A school of fish and what else?
Octopus. Oh, we had a little crab.
Playing keys.
Oh yeah.
And he had flags.
Mm-hmm, we had little flags.
We didn't see that much. Because
the musical notes are like universal language. So we were like, flags, the music notes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it was jam-packed with fun detail and really fun colors. I feel like that's something you'll be known for in the season for sure, is all the fun color that you tended to put in this. And, you know, the feedback, you know, was like around even like the composition. It was like, you know, if you would have reversed the ukuleles, then, you know, we would have been able to see everything. So like, you know, obviously they loved what you did. They just wanted to like take it up that extra notch. How did you take that feedback then into the next episode? Did that influence sort of how you were composing these builds?
Well, I just want to say that if we were to flip the ukuleles, it could have capsized. The reason we had them the way they were was because the big octopus was in the back, and we didn't want the big part of the ukuleles also in the back, because part of the challenge was don't sink your ship. And so we really wanted to make sure there was balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Yeah, their comment though about like it not being able, like not being easy to see in the inside, was pretty valid. So we tried not to do that for the next episode, which was Coco's Cookie.
Mm-hmm. The next episode, I feel like in the beginning, there was like a good 20 minutes I was building like a giant cookie. And then we had no idea where to put it. And we were going to put it in the front of the Coco cookie shop. And we're like, wait, but you can't see anything. So then we had to scrap it. And like, we definitely wanted to make sure you could see everything in our next build.
I love that. I love that. Well, why don't we jump into that next build? So like you said, this was the Catropolis episode and there were kittens running all over the set. Are the two of you cat people? Was this like an exciting thing for the two of you to see all the kittens?
I mean, we meow in conversation. Like, that's real. That was not like a made up thing. Like, we literally meow. In everyday life.
And it's not a coincidence. Like, even before we knew each other, we were meowers.
Yeah.
And
both meowed on our own.
I don't know who meowed first, but like, it's a call and response kind of thing for the both of us. If one of us meows, the other will meow back. And we don't know how we got that way, but we are just that way.
Yeah. But I'm more of a dog or a pig person, I will say. Cats were new, but Mel loves cats and she was able to hold the cat. I think when I held the cat, it was a little awkward because I don't know what I'm doing. But Mel loves cats.
Yeah. I am more of a dog person too, but I do have 3 cats.
Oh, wow. Well, then clearly you were right at home there. But yeah, so it was very funny to see you meowing. So now I think like this is like friendship goals. Like find someone who will meow with you. Like I feel like that's, you know, like that's the new baseline, I feel like, for finding a good friend. But I love, though, that quote Will said where he said, "This is episode 2 and we broke you already."
That was my stressed meow. I was just like, meow, meow.
Yeah, our meows have emotions. If we're sad, we're like, meow. If we're happy, we're like, meow. Or if we drop something, we're like, meow. If we're stressed, we're like, meow. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this is a fun one. You had Coco, who is the cat who is greedy and loves to be in the kitchen. And so that turned into her final build, which was Coco's Cookie Shop. So talk to us about how you took your inspiration and landed at this concept.
I knew I wanted a black cat because we build with a lot of color. And so I wanted the cat to stand out. So when I saw Lewis going for the card, I grabbed it out of his hand and I was like, mine, to make sure we had like a cool cat. And then we know that he was like greedy and like bossy, but we wanted to make him more like a boss instead. So we wanted to kind of like lighten it up a little bit instead of like making him some like evil mastermind kitty.
Yeah. So Coco had a shop where Coco makes money, who is a boss. And the fact that like Coco loves to be in the kitchen, Allison also loves making food. So we felt like Coco was the perfect cat for us.
I literally have a fridge, like my real fridge, has Lego food in it because of priorities. So I keep my real food in my doors and in my freezer and like cabinets. And then the Lego food is in the fridge, like front and center. So when you open it, it's like the light turns on and it's like, ha! And then it also keeps the dog hair out of the Lego, which is also helpful. It just gets crunchy at night. You have to be careful.
I had a fridge. Yeah, I had a fridge, a stove, milk on tap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there was so many details. There was the hot cocoa. There was the dollar bills. There was, you know, the cookie jar with the paw prints. There was, you know, so much going on. So I feel like, Allison, you know, it sounds like this was right in your wheelhouse. And like, this was a chance for you to really show off all of your food elements.
Yeah. I mean, Mel chose all the colors. Like, Mel was the color queen on this one. She was the one who picked the blue. And like, we decided like checkered floors would be really cool too. I know I can make cookies. And I was like, again, like stick with what you know. It's not a time to experiment yet. And so, yeah. But I mean, Mel did a whole lot too.
We did experiment with moving objects though. They weren't motorized, but like we had a crank, which made the cookie and which moved the hot cocoa cup.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I know there was another funny character moment from the two of you where, you know, you were noticing that your build was a little smaller than the other builds. And, you know, Allison, we have this great quote from you. I'm schwitzing. I'm sweating. I'm smelling. Sorry, but things are happening to my body.
This is true.
Yeah. Like, you know, every episode we were like, okay, we could go home because looking around, we were like, oh, ours is kind of small. So we were like, maybe we'll be in the bottom. But
luckily we had a great hair and makeup team that helped me with the schwitzing. I will say that because, oh, that was rough. I mean, you just like the lights, the cameras, the action, the people, you just get hot. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I listen, whether it's the pressure or to your point, like the production, bodies are weird. Humans are humans. It's all good. We don't judge here. But, you know, you noticed, you alluded to this earlier, Melanie, like that scale seemed to be like a recurring theme for you. Mm-hmm. You know, Jamie brings it up here. And, you know, did you feel like, especially like getting through this, that that was another lesson to learn in the next episode.
Yes, because the next episode was the volcano episode.
We went big.
We went really big.
You can't have a small volcano. You know, I'm not sure, you know, if it's, then that's just like a little hill. I don't know if it's a volcano at that point, but why don't we talk about it then? So the next episode, episode 3, was volcanic brickruptions. And yours, you had the above the clouds environment. And was this the environment you were going for, or was this just one you ended up with?
I don't remember.
I think that was what we were going for, right? Because we were like, who else is going to get it? We're like really creative. We can come up with so much. It's going to be something kind of out of this world and outside of the box, right?
Yeah. I mean, luckily it went with our colorful theme. We found blue minifigs. Like, we went whimsical, spacey. So it worked.
Yes, you did. And so this was the Kaboom Box, the Rockcano. You know, another great like punny, you know, name for this one. And there was, you know, and I think to your point, like everyone zigged and you guys zagged in a big way. You know, everyone's like doing very terrestrial things, but yours, this was all an alien planet in the shape of a rockcano. The boom box goes boom into a pool. It's like their hot tub. I mean, you were really sort of like getting excited about doing such a different story. You know, did this come quickly to you, or was this something that like took a long time to arrive at?
I mean, like, before we went on the show, I wrote some notes down. I knew I wanted to do something with the planet Neptune's, and I was like, okay, cool, I'm just gonna keep this in my back pocket. And then when we got the volcano, I was like, oh, rockcano, kaboom box from the planet Neptune's, okay, cool. And then we just kind of like went in.
We both wanted to do space because we were like, in the sky, well, she's a Trekkie, I love Star Wars. Hello. We're going to do space.
We love sci-fi.
Same here. So this is why we get along so well. But yes, you had, you know, so much going on. There's an annual lava dance. They do a dance where so the kaboom box will blow up and they're partying all night and swimming. You know, what there was so much going on in the party. Was there any little details or stories that were within that you were especially proud of that maybe we didn't get to focus on long enough in the show?
So we saw a bunch of minifig heads that were blue. So we were like, ooh, they could be cold-blooded aliens. They could all be blue. And that's why they did the annual lava dance so that the kaboom box could blow up and they're partying all night. And when they swim, like, they warm up and it's like a fun time, you know? One of the details in there that they didn't really mention on the show was we did have an extra function where, like, we had some loose parts inside the pool of lava that if the volcanic eruption was successful, it would fill up the pool and all the pieces would float up and like the different minifigs that were in there would also flow up. So it's like they're swimming.
I like that. Yeah. And we did see the lava sort of like going down those canals on either side. You know, was it, did the lava feel like a big challenge or like a fun challenge?
We weren't sure how the lava was going to flow.
We had no idea. And then also, like, I wanted to make sure we had enough time to go big. So I built that rockcano and it was hollow on the inside. I was like, well, don't touch it. And like, she built the inner structure to hold the lava flowy pole thing.
I kind of like drew out a path because I had it in my brain, but I wasn't sure like how to execute it. So I drew it out first and I was like, it could come out from the back into like a bowl and the bowl can like kind of flood and then it could like kind of angle out and just keep going down. So it was kind of like a slide.
But
sort
like building that slide was so scary because there was only like a few little support beams. And again, like, I didn't know how heavy that lava was going to be. And I've never directed any sort of liquid with Lego before. So this was like a whole new thing. And we one of the rules was you had to have like a moving part. So the lava had to make something move. So that was new too. We came up with, what's it called? Not zip ties. The things where they slide on.
Yeah, they were like zip ties.
Zip line.
Yes.
Zip line. Yeah.
Words are hard.
For real. Well, this one, though, turned out really fun. You know, like, all of your builds have so much personality. The rockcano had a face. I mean, like, there's just so much fun going on with this one. And, you know, and I think the judges really liked it. You know, like, you really like went into that world building and that really resonated with them. So, you know, I think overall some really positive feedback from the judges this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what Allison told me was, and this was a good bit of advice, you know, like this is also a kid's show. So let's make something kids would enjoy. What would kids think? Kids think outside of the box. It doesn't always make sense, but it's fun. So that's what we were going for.
I mean, like a lot of the builders on the show are very, like, they use very realistic colors. And I'm just like, that is not how I build. And I was like, we need to bring, I mean, I started episode one with a rainbow sweater representing the LGBTQ community. Ooh. Like, we got to get that going, you know?
I love it. I love it. Well, I think that's like a really interesting strategic point, because I think to your point, the things that kids might like are also sort of the things that do well on TV. You know, like you want to make it big, colorful, exciting. And so, you know, I think if you lean into that, like as a lot of people who listen to this podcast are like thinking about what they would do on the show. And so we try to, you know, give them some advice. And I think that that's one of those things that, you know, we always talk about, that you need to be building big and building colorful. And so maybe letting your inner kid out, which maybe it's what we should all be doing with Lego anyway. It's a, you know, it is a kid's toy originally, but yes, you guys really, you know, made this one your own, and it definitely got the recognition it deserved. And then we go on to a totally different challenge, but maybe one that the two of you would do well at, you know, the build it by ear. You've got to interpret a sound into what a build would be. And your sound was the snarl. And I'm curious, you know, was this again, one that you were going for, and how did you just feel approaching this sort of challenge where you had to be inspired by a sound and sort of make it make sense as a final build?
We didn't know what any of them sounded like until we got our little boxes and went to our tables and pushed buttons. So there was no like strategic anything. I think Emily and Kelly got badonkadonk.
Yeah.
How does one make a sound with badonk? I have no idea. So yeah, we just wanted to make sure like whatever sound we got, we weren't obvious with the build. And Mel came up with this brilliant idea to do monsters having a picnic, and with Paul and Nalita, like Nalita would always bug Paul in the green room, and me and Mel noticed that there was one time Paul was falling asleep and Nalita was putting like a piece of candy in his mouth and he was going
in his nose.
Like,
yeah,
cool. So that was all Mel. Like that was awesome
from the beginning. When we walked in, we were like, oh, there's a boombox. Is this about music? We were like, oh, okay, this is our challenge. This is a music challenge, right? And then when they said build it by ear, we were like, oh, yeah, this is going to be our favorite.
And again, yes, we brought food in because I love me my food. So we're like, okay, monster picnic. Monster I made food. Monster ball soup. We had a bunch of minifigs with their heads cut off, but their heads and body parts were in different things of food. There was hands and tires in the pizza. There was heads on the corn. Yeah.
Well, and we need to talk about that because I took a lot of notes, and, you know, we see like there's a minifig skeleton hanging out of the big monster's mouth. And I feel like there was a part of the story, you know, we heard the story about the older brother, the younger sister, but are these monsters, is there delicacy minifigure flesh? Is that the part of the story we didn't understand?
Pretty much.
Because part of me was like, oh, is the corn supposed to be, you know, the minifigure heads just because, you know, it's a good part usage? Or is it because, no, those are heads. Those are really supposed to be heads.
Honestly, like, we thought it would be too plain if it was just a monster picnic. We needed something to, like, amplify the story a little more. So we went morbid. It was fun.
Well, I feel like Jamie's feedback makes a lot more sense because he said, this is the most adorable, horrific scene I've ever seen. And I feel like because we didn't get the full story, you know, I think that feedback probably went right over my head. But I take a lot of the my notes like verbatim sentences. So now it like it's all coming together for me. But I think they, you know, clearly liked like the macabre, you know, extra, you know, gruesomeness that you were adding. But was there a part of this build or one of your mini builds that you really loved?
This was the first build we had where Technic worked. Thanks to Mel, like 1000%. Thank you, Mel, for making the head spin. Yeah. So we were just excited because we got something to finally move. And it was like at the very last minute, we finally got that. Well, Mel got that thing to move. I was just busy building sculptures and she was like focusing in on the mechanics of it. I was just like, good. Because again, my brain technically challenged.
We wanted to try to get the feather to move, but we couldn't figure out how to do that in time. But we actually got the head to move, and that was the most important part. So
yeah, the challenge was make something move in that. So we had to or cut. So yeah.
And that wouldn't have been a fun way to go, is like on a technicality like that. So, but thankfully you got the movement. Like I said, I feel like there was clearly more to the story. So I'm glad that we're diving into it together. But this one was another cute one. The characters like sort of had like a Muppety quality. And I mean that in a really good way.
I love the Muppets. I'm obsessed with Muppets. Yeah. Gonzo is my hero. I love Gonzo.
I love Muppets too. Mm-hmm.
I'm a Muppet fanboy as well. So listen, like, I don't know. Did we just become best friends? No, I'm kidding. And I also come from a music background. I was a singer and all that sort of stuff. So I feel like, you know, maybe I could be, you know, your roadie as you guys tour, you know, or something.
Three Musketeers.
Our people.
Well, listen, clearly you're having fun with each other, but you know, now we're in episode 5, which is the Cirque du Soleil challenge. And, you know, now they're asking you to play with others and they're putting you into these two teams and you are on Team Cirque. And so just as a reminder, Team Cirque was made up of Aubrey and Ryan, Emily and Kelly, and Paul and Nalita. And what'd you say?
We were the underdogs for sure.
The underdogs.
I mean, you had Chris on and Sam. Sam is a beast. And I'm just like, oh no.
So, you know, so now you come together to your point, maybe you're feeling like an underdog. What was it like sort of as that team is forming and you're divvying up the acts and like, what was all that all like from your perspective?
All I know is that we needed to have a spinning motion because that was the one movement we knew we could do. Because a lot of the people like on the show are pretty good with technic. We are not very good with technic. So we knew we wanted to have a spinny thing. But then I just had to keep my mouth shut because Emily kind of took control, and you don't want to have too many cooks in the kitchen. Is that the word?
Yeah.
No,
too many cooks in the kitchen. So I just kind of stepped back in this one. My biggest fear was that we would be in the bottom and then we would get eliminated from the team. So I was just like, we just got to stay afloat. We have to make sure we can do something that we're decent at and then throw in a bunch of color. And then Mel was able to do two different mechanisms. Again, Mel with the big brain. So, yay.
Yeah, the team came up with a color scheme too. But then we were like, how are we supposed to make this our own? So then we just started adding more and more and more color. Like the mermaids are the same color. And for the most part, like we used all the other colors as well. But we were like, yeah, like we're the colorful team though. Like we need more extra stuff happening. So then we had all the color. We played with lighting too. We never used Lego lights before. And like we had a stage and the lights were on the bottom lighting up the stage. So the mermaids looked more like they looked brighter. And then we knew that, you know, just because it was under the sea, I mean, it's still a play. It's still a show, a circus. Well, circus, the Soleil. So we added stage lights. So it's not just an under the sea thing. We actually added stage lights.
I think the hardest part was Ryan was the one who designed all the mermaids. And I like to build my characters first and then build the scene around it. And he doesn't. So I was waiting a very long time for those mermaids so we could make the rest of the stuff. Yeah. That was stressful. But aside from that, it was pretty easy going.
And it was nice learning other people's styles and techniques. Like we would have never made a mermaid like that if not for Ryan.
Yeah, I don't make people.
Yeah.
Yes, just anthropomorphic food.
Yes.
And they had like it's a balancing act, and they were like, "Hula hoops? How is hula hoops balancing?" And I was like, "Hello, you could balance it on your hips. You got to keep it on your hip. Like I can hula hoop. I can hula hoop pretty well. I can bring it from my hips to my knees, back up to my hips, to my shoulders, to my neck." All the way back
Everyone
down to my
knees. Their hula hoops. They like the hula hoops.
Yeah, I could do like a little hopscotch thing with it. I was like, I love hula hooping. I was like, it's all about balance with hula hoops. And yeah, they love the hula hoops. Oh my God, this is one time during our interview. our producer was asking about our builds, and I was like, yeah, hula hooping mermaids. Like, how often do you ever see a hula hooping mermaid in a circus? And she was like, never. And I was like, exactly.
Well, I feel like we needed the demonstration of you doing the hula hoop from your knees to your hips and all the things you were just describing. We were robbed of that.
I know, because they didn't have a hula hoop.
Well, I think I figured out what your next Instagram reel should be. You know, because I think we need to see it. But this one turned out, like you said, really fun. You had two movements. You had, you know, the two of the mermaids rotating. You had one sliding back and forth, and you know, lots of different coral and the colors, like you talked about. Was there anything in particular that stood out for you from this build that you want to talk about?
I'm actually really proud of this one because we've never made that much movement before. The colors I thought were gorgeous. It was pretty clean. I really loved it, and it was pretty uniform with the other teams how we built our stage. Yeah,
the hardest part was like covering up the mechanisms,
mm-hmm.
like see them, and then they kept popping off. And we're like, and it was a thing. But we got there, and it happened, and it worked.
Totally. Yeah. Well, you definitely did. And this was really a very cool story, like how that all came together, and your build obviously was a great one to be part of that story, but. You know, this was a different kind of a challenge for more than one reason, not just the teams, but because for the first time ever, there was a tie on LEGO Masters and no one went home. So what was that like? What was your reaction in that moment? You know, the sign comes down. No one's going home. I know you were worried you might be the one sent home. What was it like to finally get that notice?
Allison was worried, but I was like, I don't think anyone's going home. I was like, how are they supposed to judge me? Like, I was looking at theirs. I was like, yeah, theirs is really, really good. I was like, hey, ours is really, really good too. And even though we were the underdogs, I was like, our story's beautiful. Like, it's very cohesive. We work pretty well. And we had a cute song that they didn't use, but it was such a cute song. But our story was beautiful. And I was like, how are they supposed to send anyone home at this point?
I mean, honestly, I thought Sam's team over there was like epic. Their build was insanity. It was so cool. Everything. That what Lewis and Alex made, everything was just so like, wow. Like to be in the same room as that build and then looking over at mine, I was like,
I thought it was really beautiful. I thought I was like, no, this has got to be a tie. But I just really loved it.
Well, thankfully it was. And listen, Allison, like they had a great build. You all had a great build too. So, you know, these are all different carats of diamond. That's what I always say. But we then go on to another wacky challenge, the Is It Brick Challenge. And you are, you know, tasked to recreate an item one-to-one, you know, out of Lego from Will's detective office. And the first part of the challenge that we see is everyone in that back gallery area in the office deciding which object they were going to choose. Ultimately, you landed on the vintage camera, but I'd love to just sort of get in your heads about how you decided on the camera. Was there other things you were considering and why you chose the camera ultimately?
I wanted that TV.
Yeah, the TV.
I wanted that TV. But I'm really glad we didn't get it because that curvature of the screen probably would have picked our booties. But we liked the camera because it had weird parts and it was smaller. And we thought that it would be more challenging and that the judges would like that. Also, one of the rules was someone is going to come and try to pick it out. So we wanted to make sure it wasn't easily picked out. So we went for something with like no color that looks realistic. Sam had a huge rug, which was just like, what? And then Chris with the chair, like, what is happening? But we thought it was a really good idea. We were wrong. But we still love our camera. All the camera people were like, oh my God, it's so cool. And like, they were looking at it. There were times we went back to our table after picking brick and we couldn't tell which one was the camera and which one was the Lego camera.
Right.
So, I mean, I stand by that build. I love that build. I am so happy and proud of us for that one. So bottom two was poop.
It took us a while to figure out what we wanted too. We went like a few laps around that room figuring out like, what are we going to do? Can we do this? Yeah. Can we do that? Meanwhile, people keep picking stuff and we're like, well, can't do that anymore. Can't do that anymore.
The clarinet was also small, but it had really good parts usage. But it was also smelt. Dang.
Yes, there was a lot of pressure.
Yeah, so once we got to our table and we picked that one. Well, we also picked it because we resonated with it. Allison loves taking pictures of her builds. If you see in my Instagram, I model. So I'm like, well, you know, we both have a connection to cameras.
Belle's
so,
the fashion queen.
So we chose that one. We thought, with the color, it wouldn't be as easy to point out. It was smaller, so it wouldn't be as noticeable. And it's also kind of like off to the side in the room. So even less chance for that person to notice it.
And we got that cord really good. It was movable, the camera cord. We used a tire for the lens. Like, we went through every single brick in the brick pit. Mm-hmm. That was the colors of the camera. And we went through each piece and we said, we could use this one. We don't use this one. And we spent 2 hours probably going through every single brick.
Every single brick in the brick pit. Yeah. So like literally we get to our table and Allison's like, I need you to pick one of each of this color, gray, black. And I was like, okay. So I picked out all the pieces.
I went to the right.
And we were trying to figure it out. So like we went from piece to piece and like we were literally like putting it on the camera. Like, how does this compare to this? And we literally picked the pieces that would literally best suit each and every little detail of that camera.
Mind you, the brick pit is limited in variety. You have a lot of big brick, but you don't, it's not like BrickLink where you can just choose the perfect pieces that will be perfect. You have to use what you have. So that was a challenge in itself for sure.
We literally looked at shapes, colors, we even did measurements. We were like, okay, like how much far of a distance is this piece to this piece? And yeah, like we literally wanted it to be as accurate as possible.
Yeah, we were so proud.
Mm-hmm. You should be. I mean, you really had a lot of like you mentioned it even in the show, you said, you know, it was actually a dumb move because there's a lot of little details you have to get right, but you really got so many of them right. You know, to your point, like the lens with the tire, and even like to do the little gray border that was around the rectangular front part of the camera. I mean, that's a hard, you know, element to replicate when you're, you know, in that sort of fidelity of Lego bricks. It's just so hard. I think that you did a really exceptional job. I think the hard part was, a lot of people did a really exceptional job. And so, you know, I think that there was a lot of scrutiny on, you know, part of me feels like when everyone's is so good, they have to, you know, find some sort of thread of why, you know, you might be in the bottom two versus someone else. And for them, maybe it was, you know, how challenging was this? And did you nail every single thing better than everyone else nailed every single thing? I mean, they must have been kind of struggling with this one. I think with Aubrey and Ryan, maybe they felt like that was the obvious, you know, person to send home just because of the screen piece. But I'm sure picking that other bottom two was a tough call for them.
There was literally no other way you could have made that camera. I'm 100% convinced.
I mean, listen, I'm going to agree with you then. You know, I wasn't there, but I'll just take your word for it. But honestly, I think this was a really unique challenge that you certainly rose to the occasion modeling every single component. But yes, I think this was a good one. Underrated. I'll say that. Underrated.
They did say it was too small, so we made sure to go bigger in the next one.
Big beach bag.
Yes. Well,
I'm a big beach bag.
In a really cool box. Love it.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, certainly, you know, like we talked about, every lesson you're learning, you're trying to take the judges' feedback and appeal to them, because ultimately, you know, there's no American Idol fan vote where I could have called in and been like, I love the camera. You know, it's ultimately you're playing to the judges' sensibilities. And so to your point, you took the feedback loud and clear. When one thing is small, we got to go big. But this one was all the Brick Chic Challenge. You had to, you know, kind of tap into your fashion sense. Melanie, I imagine this was something that appealed to you. But, you know, building a high fashion handbag, and you picked the summer season. You could pick any of the four seasons. Was this the season you wanted? Were you going for summer?
I wanted summer. I wanted winter. I wanted to make a giant snowman that opened and closed because I
didn't know you wanted to make a snowman.
I did. But it's summer. I don't like summer. I get hot. My body does things. I don't want it.
When I think summer, I think Barbie. Like, I thrive in the heat, like in the sun. We're from California. I know you get hot, but like, I love the sun. I like love being crop tops and shorts and not being cold. If it's below 60, I'm like, no, this is too cold. I can't do it.
I love like cuddle weather. I hate the beach. I hate going in the sand, getting water, and then getting the sand all on in the crevices and all the things. It's such like a
sense. You don't gotta go to the beach.
Like, I don't
want things in the summer.
So we landed on summer. To your point, you made the summer beach bag, and you know, you were really trying to go big. You know, they you know, we're even joking like it's going to end up being bigger than Melanie. You know, so talk to us about what it was like to put this together, because, you know, we know that there was a lot of struggles between how big and can we get it finished and all this sort of stuff. So talk to us about like what it was really like from your perspective.
Mel took the lead on this one because she's the fashion queen. She has a billion handbags and all this stuff. I'm more function. I like comfort. I like things that make sense logically. She's the fashion-y, this looks pretty thing.
Yeah, I was just taking the lead in most of it. And then this one, she was like, Ma, like, you do fashion. Yeah. Like, I don't know. but Allison's a good builder. Allison can build, you know. She's like, I'm like, okay, so, like, we're just going to make a beach bag, right? Like, let's just make a big, big beach bag. Yeah, we got a little carried away with a big, I think, and it turned into a square.
We should have just put hinges on the big plates and made it angle like a triangle inward. But like, it was one of the shortest challenges. Over halfway through is when the judges came to tell us that they didn't like it. And at that point, it's like, oh, mush, like brain becomes mush. It was just like, my brain could not function at that point. It just was not. So I was just like, we're going to add wheels. We're going to make it so you could take off the handle and pull it.
Let's make it as functional as possible.
Function. But looking back, I would have put hinges on it and just angled it. And then it would have been way better than Lewis's Alex's, because they couldn't even move theirs without it breaking. But I digress.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, this is a tough premise. You know, like to be able to, you know, take the feedback to go big, or even to like, you know, make something that you can carry. I mean, I think that was a lot of their concern, was that if it was this big, like, how would you even carry it? But I think that, you know, you mentioned something really important, which is when the judges get to you can be a really kind of key element of the competition that we don't get to see at home. You know, if they were at your table right away, and then you would have had 6 hours to pivot,
yeah,
that would have been a whole totally different ball game. But, you know, with only 4 hours, you know, that's tough, just because, you know, do you just, you know, barrel ahead and just kind of see your vision through and hope that your complete piece is enough? Yeah. Or do you pivot?
Yeah.
And it's a tough pill.
We weren't thinking straight anymore.
We wanted to make sure Mel could use it, could hold it, could use the handle, it wouldn't break, and it still looked like kind of cute for a box. It was a box.
Yeah, and then later we were like, man, maybe we could have just kept it big and made it like a luggage kind of thing.
Yeah, we're like, we could have just made this luggage. Luggage are technically like handbag, like, or fashion-y bags, like, yeah.
Brand. But the one idea we did get to keep was the California sun, the sunny sunset and sunrise.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So like I'm half Filipino, and like we have some bags that are like really very nicely embroidered, and the sun is like a symbol of the Philippines too. So I wanted to incorporate that, and you know, we're from Cali, so we're like, oh, Cali sun. So and I love retro, so we wanted like 80s neon, like retro colored vibes.
Yeah.
Too.
Like endless summer, you know, like that poster for the movie. It's like, it's got that exact neon aesthetic. But, you know, we do, you know, get to see also, Melanie, you do, you know, something that's probably even more in your comfort zone than, you know, building a bag, which is getting a chance to model on the show. And, you know, we see you in the photo shoot and everything. What was that part of the experience like?
It was so much fun. We wanted an outfit that would kind of match our bag. So it was kind of like 60s kind of retro vibes, kind of Barbie-ish. So I had a lot of fun in that. It's not something I would normally wear, but I was like, ooh, I'm feeling this.
Let's just say that. Like, if it wasn't for Mel posing with that thing, she made it look good.
Then Will and Malcolm got all around down trying to distract us. I'm literally like, no, not right now, Will, not right now. I'm modeling. Like, I'm trying to work right now.
And I got distracted because they gave me a water gun. So I was just like squirting the gun, like in my own little world. Like,
yeah, she was throwing the beach ball at me. It was real cute. And they had like a little fan going.
Little popsicles.
Fun.
There was a cooler.
There was a cooler. I mean, like, it's functional. Go to the beach, need a cooler. And carry.
I mean, I like to eat. Get a bag that can carry food. Come on. Like,
food, your beach balls, whatever. It can carry a lot of things. It can open and close. It has a handle. You can roll it if you wanted to, or you can put it on your shoulder, walk around with it if you wanted to. Yeah. Like, I mean, it wasn't our proudest build, but I mean, with the time we had, we were so glad we were able to finish it, and it still looks really cool.
Finished it. That's like the biggest thing to come from this is like, we didn't give up. We didn't just like pull our hair out of our heads and walk away. We like finished the build, and it wasn't the best build by any means, but it was done. It was complete even after pivot. So
yeah. Well, listen, the two of you have a lot to be proud of. I know it's like, it's always hard when we get to this part of the podcast and we talk about the episodes, you know, that team struggled on. But at the same time, like you said, like, you never gave up. You put a lot of like interesting function and detail into it. And Melanie, I wish we would have gotten even to hear that story about sort of your Filipino heritage and sort of those embroidered bags. I think that would have even helped us even connect to the bag even more. But I love just even the way hearing you talk about it, looking back on this, I feel like you're like, you understand what happened. You don't take yourself, you know, terribly seriously. You know, everyone's just trying to do their best. And, you know, I always talk about how this show reminds me sometimes of like those food competition shows, like MasterChef or whatever it is. And it's like, are you going to get something on the plate? You guys got something on the plate that still had color and detail and function and actually worked and actually opened and those sort of things. So, you know, not all the builds could do that. Well, you know what, you know, unfortunately, this was another episode that found you in the bottom two. And unfortunately, the episode that we see the two of you sent home on. But, you know, we do get some pretty touching moments from the two of you as, you know, we say goodbye to you. And, you know, Melanie, you sort of said, you know, we didn't know we were going to get this far. And, you know, and Allison, you went on to say you thought you'd be out second. But, you know, but like to share this experience and to just see what you were really capable of when you really gave it a good go, you know, you have so much to be proud of. So, now that, you know, the show's happened, it's aired, you've watched it back, you've had some distance, you know, what are your thoughts as you look back on this experience? You know, what are you taking away from it?
It was, I mean, I had a great time. Like, I would do it again. Yes, it was stressful, but if we ever had the opportunity, heck yeah, I would do it again.
I want to get on a holiday special and throw some Hanukkah in their faces. That's what I want to do.
So yes.
Noras and
maybe
and
do a little jingle
to the horn.
Well, we would love to see that. But, you know, we also heard, you know, Amy give you like a nice goodbye. You know, she says, Allison and Melanie, I know it's always sad to say goodbye, but I really hope that you're proud. You've shown us some amazing builds throughout the season and you've really shared your passion and your love of building with us. And, you know, going back even to what you said about the auditions, you know, that it was important to the show to highlight female builders and to sort of, you know, kind of come full circle to have then our female judge, excellent, ultimate female builder, really crediting the two of you for everything you're able to accomplish. You know, what did that feel like? And have you gotten any feedback from other female builders or female fans about your, you know, seeing you as role models on the show?
I mean, going to conventions, like little girls come up and are like, you are my favorite team. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And it's just like, it's really cool to see people in real life react. You can read things on the internet and that's cool. But like to see somebody face to face and like light up when they see you and go, oh my God, like we were rooting for you. And just like, really? Like me and Mel, like really? Like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like that was probably the coolest part of the whole show. Is just getting to meet the people afterwards and hearing their stories and hearing what they like to build and all that stuff. Like, that's my favorite part for sure.
Yeah, we went to Legoland. We were getting noticed left and right, mostly by little girls too. And then I have some friends who have kids and they're like, kids, I have a friend who's on Lego Masters and now they all want to meet me. Actually, finally met up with one family and my friend has this daughter. And she's like, you're my favorite. I loved your style. I loved everything. I loved your jewelry. Like, she had like two pages of questions for me. Aww. And her son was also like super into it. And they're both so creative. And it's like, wow, it's like, it's crazy how like this show, it shows us how much, you know, someone can inspire children or even adults, whoever, you know, it's wow. It's mind boggling. It's like, wow, like we did this and people look up to us. What? Like, that's really crazy.
Listen, I look up to the two of you. I always say I could never do the things that you all do on the show. But, you know, obviously, you know, it sounds like you're going to some conventions. You're, you know, out in the Lego scene. But, you know, what's next for this team? You know, what's next for the two of you on your Lego journeys?
I made a hand. I made a refrigerator hand. I'm going to do that little bit. I'm trying to make a Lego idea set. So if you want to vote for it, you can go on my Instagram at Allison Gale Bricks and find the brick separator hand with a little skateboard thumb and it waves hello. It's a left hand too, because I'm left-handed, just saying. But I would love to make a Lego set. I do I host a competition in Solvang, California, in September. We have like Lego builders come and compete for cash prizes. I'm going to a convention this weekend in Bakersfield, so that'll be fun. And I'm bringing my mini fridge with me with all of my Lego food, full lot of it in it. So that should be fun. I don't know, like, see where the brick takes us, really.
I love it. No slowing down for you. But Melanie, what about you?
Conventions, hopefully. I think Allison said something for Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah, Bricks and Minifigs in Lomita.
Maybe Mother's Day. We're still thinking about when. and also, some of the contestants are meeting up in Portland next month. I'm hoping to go to that, take some time off of my job and be them again. They're doing a little meet and greet, so hopefully I can make it out to that too.
Aww. Yeah, I don't travel, so Mel's the one who goes to the other states.
We went to Washington together. That was a lot of fun. That was our first meet and greet autograph type of thing.
Go.
It was pretty big. Yeah, she didn't go.
Did not go. No,
but, you know,
maybe next convention. Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Brick World Chicago is like the big one.
Yes. Yes. That is the big one. Yes. Yeah. I was at Brick World Chicago last year and was lucky enough to get to host the panels with the Lego Masters contestants. And there was like 40 some of you. And so I can't even imagine how many there's going to be this year. So super excited. I'll be back again to the convention. So I can't wait.
Nice. You're going to go to Chicago, Allison?
I wish. Probably next year. I need to like use my brain to save money and not just spend it on brick. Because like every time I have money, I'm just like, ah, Bricklink, ooh, pick a brick wall. Like I need to like save it. I don't know. We'll see.
Listen, all of us Lego fans understand that struggle. So you're in good company there. But that takes us to the end of this Lego Masters deep dive. And we had so much fun. So I just wanted to say, like, truly thank you both so much for, you know, joining me and sharing so much of your stories and so much of yourself with all of us on the show. You know, you have so, so much to be proud of, all the fun, colorful builds that you're able to do. You know, and I love that even though, you know, it didn't turn out 100% the way you wanted, that you leave with this great positivity, maybe still a song in your heart, hopefully. but just thank you both so much for joining me. It really means the world.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
The pleasure's all mine. Thank you. As you can see, it was a ton of fun getting to talk to Allison and Melanie, and I feel like we got even more into their personalities, which are just so fun and bubbly. But like I said at the top, we're not stopping anytime soon with these postseason deep dives, so be sure you stay tuned for all the deep dives we have coming up. And as always, be sure you leave this podcast a rating and review over on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening to it. So if you want to follow along with the podcast, be sure to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening to it now. If you want even more LEGO content, be sure to check out my YouTube channel, Talk Bricks, where I cover the LEGO news for the week every Saturday. And you can follow the channel on all social media platforms with the username @TalkBricks. And if you want to follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook, it's Talk Bricks Masters. And on Twitter, it's TB Masters. Thanks again, and I'll see you guys next time.